Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Jackie Berger, and my mic's not working. It is? Okay. Hi, this is Jackie Berger, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us archived on heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that people all over want to change the food system and they want to help make that change, but so often people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next half hour to introduce you to someone who has started, who's taking her passion and skills to bring change, and hopefully her story will inspire you to create your own Just Food story. So today we're talking, I am so excited to be in the Roberta's Heritage Radio Network studio today with Yannette Fleming. Yannette is the founder of the Hattie Carthen Herb Farm and two community-based farmers markets. She is a food justice farmer, plant and sound medicine practitioner working in Brooklyn to cultivate community health from the ground up for 12 years, which is a long time. And at the same time, in the course of a life cycle, it's not a long time. I'm so excited to have you here, Yannette. And I feel like the first thing we should talk about, which of course I didn't tell you I wanted to talk about, but I feel like the first thing we have to do is kind of like take the listeners to the herb farm and take the listeners to the Hattie Carthen Community Garden and to those markets and just give them a picture. Can you give us a picture of the work that you do and what it looks like right now?
So the work I do is transformation work that's happening in terms of community revitalization. So it is the ability to look at desolate spaces or seeming desolate spaces and hold vision for the rejuvenation and the rejubilation of the space. And that vision would be inclusive of the organisms, the earth's organisms, the earth, the environment, the people, and the built environment. So basically, in a nutshell, when you come into the Hattie Carthen food projects, let's say the herb farm and community market, which was dug by hand, what we have created now is a sort of reminder of the old ways of farming and culture is basically what you experience in those vibrant spaces.
They are the most beautiful oases in the middle of Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. They are just, it is incredible how vibrant those spaces are and how many people are drawn into these projects. How did you come to be doing the work that you do in the space that you're in, and how did that start for you 12 years ago?
So I would really have to say that my awakening had been happening through trauma and change and pain all through my life. And then 9-1-1 was really a huge catalyst for me, where it was like, as I saw the buildings fall, like a part of me also was shattered in that process. And so basically, I realized that everything that I'd been programmed to think was probably in error, and I needed to build myself up again from the ground, because the reality is that I worked in corporations, worked, you know, at the stock exchange, and, you know, advised people on how to get into high yielding products and what to invest in and all of that. And then I sort of realized that that was important information that I needed to garner through life experience, but really my calling had to be in a natural way that was with integrity, and that involved me first being in integrity with myself and helping others to come into integrity with themselves and the land. Would be a way to condense a number of realizations or awakenings. But technically, it is that fall that really made me make a general departure back to the earth and her things and the old ways and like the ways of my family, because my family has always worked around land.
I was going to say, it's such a radical departure to go from Wall Street to the gardens that you have helped to cultivate and the incredible growing spaces that you have nurtured. And so it was a tapping back into your heritage, your culture to do that. And so was it a part of the way that you grew up? And then how did you get away from that, so far away from it?
Well, my story has got to be similar to a story of so many people that might be listening right now, in terms of people who have association with land and land work and agriculture and businesses like mills, which my grandfather ran a mill. So he was milling grain constantly for farmers on a large scale, and chickens and ducks and sugar cane and coconut and rice fields. We are sort of bred to think that we must depart from that because that is a sort of hard work. Mm. Basically, you want to be smart. And so through programming in South America, where I was born, we're also really steered towards the Western principles and philosophies on life. So the American dream that North Americans have would be the same dream that South Americans are programmed to have. Mm-hmm. So the white picket fence, a good university, Ivy League school. And my parents made sure that they prepared me for those things, like by teaching me, you know, like piano. Like, I'm a classically trained pianist that has been playing the piano since 3 years old.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, like, all of the trappings of, like, what it would mean to be a successful, civilized human. And I remember in particular, my grandmother would tell me, as she was doing the yard and taking care of the chickens, she would tell me to sit on the steps, you know, with my books and really study that, you know, because if I knew that, I wouldn't have to do what she was doing.
And now, of course, you've made chickens feel very much at home in Central Brooklyn, which is an amazing thing for you. I know that you get a lot out of what you do, but I know that you're nourishing your whole community. And when we were talking about, because, you know, the projects that you've started, well, I want to outline a little bit about kind of where you're going. So just so people know, there's this Hattie Carthen Community Garden, which is the most incredibly beautiful garden, and it's just expanded through your incredible efforts and working with the city and with all different kinds of partners to get access to more land that had been neglected and really abused in the community, in your neighborhood. And so reclaiming that land and healing that land, which has been tremendous work that we've watched you do, and then figuring out how to leverage those growing spaces that you're cultivating in order to really bring community health. How are you pursuing that right now?
Okay. So when I started out at the Hattie Carthen Community Garden, this was a traditional community garden, mostly a recreational space. And so once I came in, I saw that some of the trappings that were there would sort of disallow the self-sufficiency model from thriving. So in a community garden space where it's just a barbecue pits or so with the built environment, one of the first things that I recognized was that there was not a greenhouse and the connection to seed. And so one of the first projects that I undertook in the community garden was building a greenhouse. And I mean, I can't say that I've built a lot of greenhouses in my life, but I understood that I needed to wrap my head around those technologies in order to be a successful farmer or a community cultivator, because the built environment also affects our health and also affects what we do and how we do that work. So one of the first projects was the greenhouse. And then there, I also observed that the feminine farms on the land were all decaying and bent over and in a state of disrepair, which spoke to me a lot about, as women, the importance of the way we see ourselves, carry ourselves, nurture the feminine farms. And so I undertook a sort of a beautification aspect to just restore all of the feminine structures, including statues, etc. And so in all of that research, there was incredible growth, because understanding how to restore a statue that is made out of marble for a person who's just coming from like a financial background, like, was incredible growth. But the point is that I was ready, and that the energy was more than me. So I sort of saw myself in service to something larger than anything that my ego could permit me to envision. So I have to really say that all of the visions are connected to something larger. The digging out of the market space that existed there as a neglected abandoned land came directly from meditations and spatial work with the trees, because once you begin doing the work with all of the organisms in a particular geography, not just the people, but understanding like what else is there in place, then stories unfurl as sort of impressions, and those impressions are what inform the vision. So basically, it was about transformation and not overlooking things that are right there, and not assuming things either. So Bedford-Stuyvesant had this food desert label on it, as do so many other low-income communities. And then if we understand what really happens in a desert, it's really a dangerous, desolate place to be a part of. So a part of me, too, was looking to like find the water in the desert, or to understand what creates desertification, and is it artificial or is it natural, and how can we remedy it? And so when we actually look at geography in deserted areas, we have seen and heard of women who have gone into desert and with their work with trees have created possibilities for new life and the regeneration of land. So on that same wavelength and thinking is how these projects were created. What started out?
Well, I want to come back to that in just a second. Unfortunately, we had to stop for just a second and take a short break, but we'll be right back with Just Food Stories and Yannette Fleming on heritageradionetwork.org.
What might happen next?
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jackie Berger, and you're listening to Just Food Stories on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And we're here with Yannette Fleming, and we've been talking about her journey away from farming and then back to farming. And I wanted to ask you, because we were talking a little bit about this before the show, but the way that you and I know each other is that I work for Just Food, and you have been an incredibly treasured partner of Just Food since you came into our community. And I just wanted to ask you, how did you find Just Food, and how have we been able to, why have you worked with us? And you know, how have we helped you, and how can we continue to help you?
Just Food is part of my heart. In other words, they're organizations and people that you might carry in your heart, and Just Food is one of those. I would say synchronicity is how I found Just Food, in terms of where I was in my evolution and looking for organizations that represent that. And so just a name, and understanding that the name was not Just Food, but Just Food. And so once I understood that there was the justice aspect, and that those realizations were being made by organizations, and that that work had existed, I definitely wanted to be a part of such a network. Once I got there, I really have to say that to me, nurturing is everything, and is everything. And I felt very nurtured in a soul way, nurtured in my unfolding, because at that point in time, I certainly was unfolding and looking for ways to move into the world with all the knowledge that I had around herbs and healing and food. So the kindest people were there to receive me. And what I would find is that every time we would brainstorm or in our meetings, and the way our pedagogy is taught, and the way that we deliver as facilitators, that I would have this, it was a sort of a feeling like a trigger, but it would trigger streams of consciousness to come through my own mind. And these streams of consciousness would be so large in terms of expansion of vision, in terms of how to apply philosophies for learning and educating communities on the ground in its practical state. And so I would say Just Food gave me the tools that I needed to unfold, and also the support in terms of economic support, in terms of tangible people who are talking your same language and understanding what you're what your challenges are, and people who accept you just the way you are, and don't need to reshape you to fit, but see that difference as a strength. I've made many friends at Just Food who I think are kindred spirits that will be with me for all of my existence. And so I just want to say, for what Just Food represents in the world for people like myself and people who still don't know how their unfolding is happening because they're in the process, I really want to say gratitude and big support and love to my farm school family, to the Just Food team, to all the chefs out there, We take our whole chef kits with us and move around and just help communities and help people to hear the words about fresh food and empowerment through food. So thanks, Just Food.
Oh, well, thank you, Yannette. I mean, you've been such an important partner for us, and we have learned so much from you and been so grateful to have the opportunity to work with you, and are so in awe of the work that you're doing in community, training other people to be better farmers and gardeners, helping people to make better use and to feel really comfortable with good food in their kitchens and in their bodies, and advocating to make the whole community a safer place to do this work, and to make policies more, help make it easier for people who are for people who are doing this work all over New York City. You've really been a light and a champion for that work. And I know that you are going to keep on shining. And as you, from working with gardens and setting up chicken coops and starting farmers markets, and this is a community-run market. For those of you who haven't seen it, these are community-run markets, and they take place all through the summer. And they're really fueled by this dedication and passion for bringing good food to community. But you have this grand vision for making it even bigger, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you would like to do in the next couple months, years.
Yeah, well, the background on that situation is that this is a place that was dug by hand. This is an abandoned space that we're talking about. So we're talking about ordinary people digging and working without resources. In other words, a lot of sweat equity is involved in that land. And so there's a certain pride, but it doesn't mean that because we dug it without resources that we want to continue to run it in a less than excellent manner. Mm-hmm. It just means that we have to, in a really grassroots way, continue to work to bring it to the level that we want to see it, and that our communities deserve the best. And because we deserve the best in our food environments, then the vision has to continue to grow until it looks like what it is that we are creating. It's like creating an organization or an entity like a market. It's like having a baby for me. Mm-hmm. It's like my market is five. It's a small baby. I mean, what are we doing at five? We're still like goo goo gaga and trying to get concepts, trying to find our way. So when you have this long-term vision, what I envision is for a permanent market space in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Mm-hmm. A space where the market is a marketplace that stays into perpetuity, that continues to grow and evolve with the community. So what can I do to nurture the baby, and what can my community do to help us to nurture the baby is to continue to support us. So in this year, 2014, what we are looking to do is to bring in a commercial sink into the marketplace so that we can move the infrastructure forward. For if we are to create an economy, a green job economy, we first must build the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And this is infrastructure building.
It seems like such a humble dream, a sink, but at the same time, it would be such a great investment in allowing you to do so much more in the market space.
Absolutely. And so what seems like small things are sometimes what determines the success or failure of a people. Mm-hmm. And when we look in rural situations and in other countries that are labeled third world countries, the main problem that they're having is access to water, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what the main problem is. Mm-hmm. The main problem that they're having is access to light, okay? And that is perpetuating the sort of poverty that we see on the ground. So small fixes in strategic places can mean the unfolding for a whole community. And that is the case in this scenario. So what we're looking to do is to, for example, put floors on the ground so that our feet no longer have to be flooded when we're working in the marketplace, that there's a sort of a flooring on the ground. These are like simple, basic things.
Right.
But because we are working without the support that might be in place to help work like this flourish, they seem to be humongous, humongous asks.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we're looking by any means necessary, philanthropy by the people for the people, mm-hmm. philanthropy by philanthropists that care about driving this stuff, that can see how these small inputs can help us to move to the next level. So we're looking for an outdoor kitchen situation. So when we're doing our bread baking workshops, that there's a counter space for kneading bread so that we're not kneading bread on tables, on mm-hmm. tables that fold up, but that there is the tools to do the work properly. The commercial sink allows us to run now a mini food counter, like that would be our next step, mm-hmm. so that when you're in the market, you can sit on your picnic bench and perhaps get an omelet directly from the coop, perhaps a sage omelet.
That sounds so delicious.
Yeah, you know, just really fresh and involved and healthy.
So how, because we are getting close to the end, I would love to talk a little bit more about how people can get involved. Like, where are gateways in? Because, every time I visit you in the gardens and at the farm, I never want to leave. And I'm sure that people listening would also like to come and contribute in any way, either philanthropically or as volunteers. So how can people get involved? How can people be a part of this work?
Very good. So our website is HattieCarthenCommunityMarket.com, and it's all one big word, HattieCarthen CommunityMarket.com. Or you can simply Google us and find our work there. Now, the market website is currently showing the scale up plan in all of the areas. So it means when we talk about scale up and we talk about not having the support, the financial support, we're saying if you're an architect, if you're a builder, if you have access to building materials that can help us to put a floor down, the dimensions are 40 feet by 14 feet. If you have something that you can contribute to this dream, if you know how to build a stage, if you know how to make a countertop, if you are a celebrity chef that is looking for a community project that educates youth and people of color in a community that is not doing so well for themselves and that lacks the basic access to fresh food and the understandings in how to prepare that fresh food with simple recipes, and you want to see this work advance, please go up to our website. Our banner page is up. There is a link for donations. We will receive the actual materials too. If you know someone who has a restaurant and their restaurant is closing because they're being forced to relocate and they have a commercial sink that they can offer us, or counter space, or anything that can help us to further our dream and to continue building. And this dream is legacy. It's not just my dream. It's also the dream of the ancestors and the people. The garden and the markets are named after our huge environmental icon, Hattie Carthen. God bless her vision and her dream. And we are happy to continue forging away for that dream.
Thank you so much for sharing that dream with our listeners. I hope that I know that the work that you're doing, you'll find the support in order to realize that dream. And I feel like it's an amazing opportunity for anybody who wants to get involved. Yannette, thank you so much for being here today. That's all the time we have, but I also want to thank Evan DeVito for engineering today's show, and I'm sure that you guys have all drawn inspiration from this story. You can always find more stories like this on Just Food Stories at heritageradionetwork.org. Or as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. See you next week, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. California.